And welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today as we come back to a subject that is near and dear to this radio program. Indeed, the antithesis knows where the battle wages most ferociously, and sadly, most Christians, most families don't realize that we are in a gigantic war of the world views. And as somebody once said, it's a war out there. It's a dog-eat-dog world, and nobody should be running around in dog-bone pajamas. We need to equip ourselves for this battle and realize that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And it is our duty to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God in Christ, bringing every thought into captivity. And it turns out education and media are the two areas in which ideas seem to be disseminated most prolifically, and that's why we need to be on our game when it comes to the area of education. And granted, the other side wants to insist that education is neutral, that education is just like gas. You don't argue for Conoco gas because it's got the better worldview. Somebody says, I go for Conoco because it's got the right worldview. Well, somebody would say, well, that's a little odd. And that's the way people look at education. They see education as, yes, they don't think that there's anything too important when it comes to education. But it turns out education is a very big deal. Ideas are significant and important, and it turns out that ideas can corrupt entire institutions and nations and bring about the destruction of human life to the tune of hundreds of millions of people. The bottom line is Adolf Hitler appears because of Friedrich Nietzsche. It turns out that Joseph Stalin and Mao Zedong appear because of the ideas of Karl Marx. Ideas are dangerous things, and we need to be sure that we're casting down those imaginations, and that, according to Colossians 2:8, we don't allow ourselves or our children to be robbed of Christ by those basic principles of the world and the vain philosophies that we obtain from the wrong worldviews. All right, well, that's the introduction to this program. And yes, there are many who say you're making too big of a deal out of education. I'm just sending my kids to the public schools. Why are you making such a big deal out of that? Well, it turns out that these are the most important discussions of the day. And that's why we have Alex Newman back on the program. He is the author of the book Crimes of the Educators and the editor for the recent edition of The New American called Rescuing Our Children, a key issue in which educational issues were brought to the forefront. And I recommend that edition of New American to you. Rescuing Our Children is the edition that is the critical one. Alex Newman, welcome back to the program. It's good to have you with us, my friend.
Hi, it's so great to be with you. Thank you so much for having me. And I just so appreciate what you're doing and what you were just speaking on. I mean, it lines up exactly with what we're trying to say. In fact, Ephesians 6:12 is a verse that I quote very frequently when talking about these issues, because ultimately this is a spiritual war, and God told us that we're dealing with a spiritual war. And Hosea 4:6 comes to mind. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If we expect that our children are going to be miseducated in public schools, come away knowing nothing of God's word, nothing of history, nothing of science, and still remain firm in the faith and still be solid on the things that they need to understand. I mean, we're hoping for something that's just completely impossible. And so I couldn't agree more with you. Education is, if not the most crucial issue of the day, certainly up there in the top three. And what we argue is that if we continue allowing our children, something like 85% of American children right now are in a government school, if we continue to allow this, we're going to lose not just our children, but we're going to lose our churches, we're going to lose our freedoms, we're going to lose our country. And it is going to be a cataclysm. And so we urge parents as strongly as possible to pay attention to what's happening and to protect your children. I can't think of any higher priority in, you know, this physical life than protecting your children. This is the battlefront.
Yeah, indeed. You know, it's interesting that there were so many people out there saying that's no big deal And yet we begin to see the effects of the public schools upon the populace. The generational trajectory has been obvious in that the millennial generation, the Mosaic generation, far, far more likely to believe in homosexuality, to endorse materialistic evolution and socialism. In fact, I think this generation is far more likely to be pro-communist than any previous generations. And you have to conclude that must come from the ideology and the indoctrination they receive, either from the media or the schools. What do you think?
I think that's exactly what's happening. In fact, I think the education system lays the foundation. And you're right. You know, if you look at the polls today, most young people, you know, from millennials on down, and I'm ashamed to admit that I'm a millennial, most people my age and under favor socialism over free markets. And, you know, when you really get down to what socialism is, you recognize that these aren't just economic systems. We're talking about a worldview here. And most young people now would prefer to live in a socialist country than in a country based on free market principles. And the polling data is just incredible. You know, something like 80% of Christian children from Christian homes who go through a government school, 12-year government school program, will end up leaving the church. And, you know, on every front, the kids are coming away totally indoctrinated, rejecting the faith of their parents, the values of their parents, God's word, the principles of freedom, our free institutions, our nation, even their parents' authority, right? And this is all deliberately engineered. This is a very strategic operation through the public school system, and then the media and Hollywood kind of provide the additional support so that these kids are just totally immersed in this. And you know, if we as parents allow this, how can we expect our kids, we talked about a spiritual war, how can we expect our kids to be engaged in a spiritual war when the enemy is the one training them?
Exactly. We're just not equipping them for the battle, and so they wind up on the other side, and that's certainly what the statistics are bearing out. Well, Alex, you've edited the New American Edition, Rescuing Our Children. I don't know if anybody's done more research on the development of the progressive public school system as you have. You write in the New American, government schools are sexualizing, perverting, and confusing children. And, you know, the question that comes to my mind is this. Why? Why are they doing this? Why are they so committed to the sexualizing and perverting of children? This does seem to be almost the number one most important priority in the liberal mind. I live in Colorado, and I know that's the case. They're going for comprehensive sex ed for everything they are worth. That is their bill. That's the Democratic bill. That is the homosexual governor's prime priority for this legislative season. But why are they so committed to the sexualizing and perverting of children?
But, you know, I think when you look at the surface of things, you think, wow, this is just hedonism, right? These are just hedonists who are just obsessed with pleasure, don't really understand the purpose of life. They think the purpose of life is just pleasure and do whatever you feel like it if it feels good. And on the surface, I think that explanation makes sense. But I think we need to dig a little deeper. I think we need to go to God's Word. You know, we need to recognize what God tells us in Romans 1 about what's happening here. And I think we need to understand, too, that this sexualization, this confusion of the children is more than just an attack on children's innocence. It's actually an attack on God's word. It's an attack on even just objective reality, right? I mean, now we're teaching the children that to say that God made male and female, or to even say that there is only male and female, is somehow bigoted, it's wrong, it's maybe hate speech when you start putting people in jail for that. God has made a lot of things clear, even just through his creation. And one of those things that he made clear is that he made men and women. He made male and female. And now even this basic, obvious, fundamental truth is coming under attack, and it's being described as hateful. So we have a situation where God's word is being described as hateful, or it's being described as discriminatory and evil, and even basic biological observable realities. And so I think this is a war on truth. It's ultimately a war on all of the things that God has ordained, right? He ordained marriage. He ordained family. He ordained government. He ordained nations. He ordained private property when he said, thou shalt not steal. And so what we see here is a government school system that is waging war on all of those concepts and ideas and institutions that God has ordained for our benefit. And the consequences of this, you know, we can see the fruit of this coming into view now abortions and drug use and school shootings and violence and gangs and the collapse of our moral values and our civilization. And it's going to get a whole lot worse if parents don't get involved in it.
You know what it sounds like, Alex, is a revolution. It's a revolution, like the French Revolution, like the Bolshevik Revolution. Right. It's ideological, it's radical, it's destructive. And no doubt it will end with the slaughter of 100 million people. It wouldn't surprise me at all if these Western revolutions that are ideological at base turn into the most bloody revolution we have seen yet, whether it be like the French Revolution or the Bolshevik Revolution. It is a revolution. Let's face it. This is what a revolution looks like.
It is. And, you know, we have smoking gun evidence of exactly what you said. Take one of the leaders of this revolution, William Ayers, who founded the terrorist group the Weather Underground, you know, bombed the Capitol, killed police officers, blew up funerals for police, bombed the State Department, the Department of Defense. And this guy, after he managed to get off on a technicality from all his terrorist attacks, went into education. And we found out from the FBI agent who was tasked with infiltrating the leadership of this terrorist group, his name is Larry Graffall. You can see the interview he did on YouTube, that these people were planning, once they overthrew the government with their revolution, they were going to invite in the different communist powers, Venezuela, Cuba, Soviet Union, Vietnam, etc., to occupy the United States, and they were planning on putting tens of millions of Americans into camps to re-educate them. And Larry Graffall, the FBI operative, said, well, what do we do with the Americans who can't be re-educated, who refuse to accept this? Well, we have to liquidate them, right? So these people quite literally are waging a war on God, a war on the church, and just like in the French Revolution, that's exactly what we saw. They hated God so much that they tried to redefine the week, right? We can't have a seven-day week.
Yeah.
God created the world in 7 days. We're going to go to a 10-day week. That's exactly what we're seeing right this moment in the United States.
You know what's interesting is the homogeneity of this thing across the United States. I was just in Missouri, and the schools in these conservative states seem to be just about as bad as the schools in the liberal states like California. In fact, I think I got an email a while back, maybe 6 months ago, from a Missouri high school teacher who lost his job for using the wrong pronoun for a transgendered teen. It just seems like, you know, there is a higher standard deviation in abortion laws across the states. But you don't see much of a high standard deviation in the distribution of public schools or public school ideology. You just don't see it. It seems like it's pretty homogenous across the states. Why is that?
You're absolutely right. And people who live out in rural Montana or rural Oklahoma, they go, oh, well, we're safe from that. You know, they would never do that in our school district. The reality is they're doing the exact same thing in your school district.
Exactly.
And the reason is, standing on the shoulders of Dr. Samuel Blumenfeld, he and I wrote Crimes of the Educators together. He researched this for 50 years. What you have in the educational system is basically complete control by what Dr. Blumenfeld used to refer to as the education establishment. It's this, you know, national and really now international network that includes the teachers' unions, right, the National Education Association, the people running the U.S. Department of Education, the people running UNESCO, the U.N. Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. You know, they have state affiliates and all this, but they all come from the same worldview. They all go to the same teachers' colleges. They get their PhDs in education from the same small group of institutions, and they're all working in unison toward these goals. And I think, again, the Bible provides the best, really the only reasonable explanation of what we're seeing. And, you know, I think the analogy with the French Revolution and the Bolshevik Revolution is very appropriate. People think, well, that's extreme. Well, that's exactly what we're seeing. We're seeing a highly organized, subversive effort to wage war on the church and what God has ordained.
And now it's also affecting Africa and the Bahamas, the Caribbean. I've been in a couple of these foreign nations in which those pastors and oftentimes civic leaders and educational leaders are very concerned about the influence UNESCO and other organizations have had upon the nations. I think they're tying foreign aid and the international monetary efforts to the ideological positions taken by the Western systems that are self-destroying themselves, but they want to bring that destruction to these other third world nations. So are you seeing that there is a universal press on every nation to bring this liberalization, the homosexualization, the transgendering into all the schools around the world?
that's exactly what's happening. And in fact, I can speak to this having grown up in 8 different countries on 4 different continents. I've been outside of the United States virtually my entire life. And what you notice is that all the schools all over the world seem to be reading from the same script. And that's because they are. Right? I mean, the UN's educational arm, the UNESCO, until very recently run by an actual member of the Bulgarian Communist Party, which slaughtered hundreds of thousands of innocent people, Christians and those opposed to communism. They are now working to standardize education all over the world. In early 2018, they put out global comprehensive sexual education standards that call for teaching 5-year-old children things that I couldn't mention anywhere, right, because they're just so shameful, so unspeakable, so horrifying. They want those taught to 5-year-old kids all over the world. The reality is they even have now what they call their World Core Curriculum. This is under UNESCO. It was developed by the Assistant Secretary General of the UN, Robert Mueller. And he actually writes in the teacher's manual for this system that he wanted taught in every school on the entire planet that it's based on the teachings of Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey, of course, was the founder of the Lucifer Publishing Company, one of the key figures in the rise of the New Age movement. But beyond Alice Bailey, this Robert Mueller, who developed the World Core Curriculum, said it's based on the teachings of these ascended masters that Alice Bailey claimed she was communicating with. She claimed to have relationship with these spiritual entities. Mm. That's right. I mean, for a Christian, this is so obviously demonic. Mm-hmm. It's not even a point of discussion. But this is what they're telling us in the open. We don't have to speculate. We don't have to theorize. That is what is going on, and they're telling us about it.
Mm. God have mercy. I think we're going to get to the solution in just a minute, but give us a sense of the history of the public schools. You think it's been getting worse and worse over 60, 70, 80 years, Alex?
It certainly has been getting worse, but I think the reason is just because they're able to get away with more than they were able to get away with 60 or 70 years ago, because it took a long time to transform the American people's worldview, the American people's moral standards, to a point where it would be acceptable to take children from a public school to a place to have a sex change operation, or to teach children that pedophilia is a sexual orientation, as we just found out was happening in California. But what happened, you know, we really trace the development of this back to a guy called Horace Mann. He had gone to Prussia and seen what the Prussian dictatorship was doing there. Education had traditionally, especially in the Christian world, been understood as a responsibility of parents with some assistance maybe from the church or from private tutors or private institutions. And so he brought this model back to the United States, back to Massachusetts specifically, where he was the commissioner of education. And about 50 years later, a character named John Dewey, and you have written very, very well about John Dewey, you know, explained and exposed what he was up to in your book, Apostate. I recommend people get a copy of that to understand the influence of this man. But he took what Horace Mann had built and kind of supercharged it. I mean, the guy was, to his credit, quite honest about what he wanted to do. He described himself as a religious humanist. He was one of the authors and signers of the first Humanist Manifesto. And they tell you right off the bat, right? The very first plank of the Humanist Manifesto, we religious humanists believe the universe is self-existing and not created. So you compare that with God's word. In the beginning, God created. So right at the very start of their religious manifesto, they tell you they reject the Bible, they reject God, they reject the Creator, and they view men and humans as little gods, right? Going straight back to the lie in Genesis 3. Well, you can be like gods, right? You just have to disobey God, and then you can be like your own little god. So that is the ideology that John Dewey believed in. That is the religion John Dewey believed in. His religion also loathed the profit motive, the free market system, the division of humanity into nations, which God, of course, brought about. And so he took over the public school system, took over the teachers' colleges, and this religion, if you will, became the official religion of the state, and children all over the country were taught this religion, and we're now several generations into this. And I think that is really, you know, we have a very big explanation of the history of all this, but that kind of gives you an outline of where this all came from and how we got to this point.
So the removal of the Ten Commandments, prayer from the public schools, the introduction of transgender bathrooms, just sort of the implications to the fundamental worldview shift that occurred earlier on in the 1920s and 30s.
Precisely. Yeah, the way was paved by John Dewey. And, of course, the big foundations, you know, Congress actually investigated the foundations in 1952. John Dewey himself was funded very generously by the General Education Board, which is a, quote-unquote, philanthropy of the Rockefeller dynasty. And Congress investigated these foundations, and they found that there had already been a revolution in the past tense. There had already been a revolution by the time this report came out in 1952, and they attributed it largely to the efforts of these large foundations, like the Ford Foundation, which had been hijacked by progressives and humanists and so on, to fundamentally transform the United States, to borrow a term from, you know, our most recent president, Barack Obama. So that is the reality. That is how it happened. It was very strategic. It was engineered. And, you know, there's this misconception out there that this disaster we have in education was an accident. It was many things, but one of the things that it was not in any sense was an accident.
Mm-hmm. Alex, what about the Trump administration? Have they been able to reverse the blitzkrieg? Have they been able to do anything? I think the impression is that somehow Donald Trump will be able to, or maybe a Republican president of some sort, will be able to reverse the progressive agenda that has been in place for 100 years.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think that's not going to happen. Trump has done a few very positive things. Yeah, I think we need to give credit where credit is due. He did withdraw from UNESCO. This isn't the first time the U.S. has withdrawn from UNESCO. Ronald Reagan also got us out, but of course they just rejoined us as soon as they had an opportunity. And so, you know, I think this is a very temporary pause, but Education Secretary Betsy DeVos was actually down in Argentina last year at the G20 meeting, and she signed up to an international declaration promising to continue, quote, internationalizing education.
Oh, no.
You know, this agenda is moving full speed ahead. Trump said he would get rid of Common Core, which is more a symptom of the problem than the problem. Common Core is more firmly entrenched today than it was even in the final years of the Obama administration. So this juggernaut really cannot be stopped, even with a Republican president and a Republican Congress. Even if they were to abolish the Department of Education, the Federal Department of Education, and I fully support that, you could not stop this agenda in that manner, right? I mean, the State Department could go on autopilot.
Yeah, it's ingrained in the teaching colleges. It's ingrained in the State Departments of Education. It's ingrained in 100 years of training and teaching in public universities that rejected God, especially in the liberal arts departments, a long, long, long time ago. So, yeah, I think your only solution is going to be to seek out the islands of education, the islands of freedom, the islands of culture, like we like to refer to them. And that's homeschooling. Is that the way you see it?
I do. I absolutely think that homeschooling is the best possible solution. One of the guys who participated in this special report with us, Israel Lane, founder of the Family Renewal Ministries. He wrote a brilliant book, Does God Have an Opinion on Education? Turns out God does have an opinion on education. And primarily, the responsibility over education is assigned to parents. And parents need to recognize they are supposed to be the primary educators of their children. And the reality is not everybody will homeschool. I mean, I highly recommend homeschooling, and the data show that even a mother who didn't graduate high school will do a far better job at educating her children than, you know, government school and parents who have master's degrees and teaching credentials and all the rest of it, even on the government's own tests. So I think homeschooling is really the ideal option for everyone who can do it. And, you know, a lot of people say, oh, well, we couldn't do it because, you know, we need two incomes, or, you know, we need that extra vacation or that second fancy car or things like that. I would urge parents, if there's any way, no matter what you need to sacrifice in terms of material wealth, if there's any way for you to homeschool your kids, you ought to do it. Get involved with co-ops. There's so many resources out there. And another option, too, is good Christian schools. And I think good Christian schools because, unfortunately, many of the so-called Christian schools have really just become little replicas of the government school system. In many cases, they're even using the same textbooks, and the principals were trained in the same teachers' colleges that the public school principals were trained in. So I always say, do your due diligence before you trust a school with the mind and the soul of your child. You know, make sure you know that this is a good school. But ultimately, I think the solution boils down to get your children out, rescue your children, protect them from this. You know, and we can try reform. You know, I don't think that's an option. We just discussed a moment ago, you know, we've been spending decades and millions of dollars trying to reform this system. You can't reform a system that's doing exactly what it was intended to do. And so I think the only option is for parents in massive numbers to start pulling their kids out and start ensuring that their kids are getting a good education.
A highly critical topic on this edition of the Generations Broadcast. Does the future hinge upon this issue? Does the future of freedom hinge upon the freedom and the right form of education chosen for our children? Does the future of the faith hinge on this? Generational faith, generational discipleship, in a godly education for our kids. And I say, yes, the future hinges on this. May God give us all the faith to press against these giants, to take the five smooth stones and launch them and raise our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord in the midst of a society that has been largely deceived by the wrong worldview, especially in the schools. Highly, highly critical, highly critical. And I encourage you to share this segment of the program with your friends and family members around the world. Alex Newman has been my guest on this edition of the program. He is the editor of the New American issue relating to rescuing the children. And the topic has been rescue the children, rescue your children, rescue your grandchildren on this edition of the program. Alex, thanks for joining us today on Generations. We appreciate your work.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Kevin. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it and all the work that you guys are doing. If people want to get copies of this special report, they can go to thenewamerican.com/rescuingourchildren. And we hope people will order 100 or 1,000 and, you know, get them out to everybody in your community so that they all recognize the danger that we're facing. And thank you once again for having me on the program.
Thank you, my friend. And the website is thenewamerican.com. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.